Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had? Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves? Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
1 in 8 start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Hello and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, John Richardson.
And me, Matt Ford.
So, where do we begin?
Oh, man. So many options.
Oh, man. I can't be getting a flight to Oman now. I've got gigs next week. Do you know what Lucy and I did this week? Do you know what romantic...
You know what the people are going to hear this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, only a few. Do you know what romantic thing that Lucy booked for the two of us this week?
Okay, I'm going to guess that it wasn't romantic. There was some sort of like horror experience. Woman in Black.
No, not theatrical.
Oh, you went to a haunted house.
No.
Ghost
no.
walk. Oh, you went to a boxing match.
Ooh, close. She
cage fight.
Blood tests for the pair of us.
Right. What, like NHS? What do you mean?
No, she. There was a clinic near where we live. She was walking past. They were advertising B vitamin shots, which gullible people go and pay to have. She believes that because I'm vegan, I'm frequently weak and lacking in energy. So she booked us both B vitamin shots. When I got in there, she said, "Ha, we're actually going to have blood tests and see who's got the best blood."
No. That's not okay. Blood test is serious. I'm so scared of that needle.
The needle went in. All the blood came out. They sent it away. The results are in.
Oh, wow. Who won?
Lucy won. Absolutely. Yeah. Hers was about, one in the sense she's wasted her money, I think, because she had basically two paragraphs that said, your red blood cells are a bit inflamed. It might just be because you've been a bit poorly, or it might be because you drink too much. It's not because she drinks too much. She pours a glass of wine. She has two sips. I neck it before I go to bed. That was about it. Mine, what a fucking hell. There's a page on there, mate.
What line?
Pre-diabetic.
No way.
Yeah, I'm about 3 points off pre-diabetic.
So you're pre-diabetic?
Pre-diabetic, yeah.
Prequel of pre-diabetes.
I need to cut out the carbs.
You look
exercise.
Great. I told you that earlier. You look great. You look fresh and thin.
Yeah, well, I'm dying, mate. Basically, I'll be surprised if I see the season out.
So you've got to cut carbs, cut sugar, anything else?
Well, I mean, broadly, I'm just a knackered dad, aren't I? I mean, that's what it says. And equally, you know, like when you take your car in, they're not going to say it's absolutely fine. Now they're going to say, oh, the wipers want doing and all that. They've basically looked at this tower of muscle and they thought, let's try and scam him out of a few more quid, see if we can get him to come back in and commit to another blood test in 6 months.
I'd love it if your results were done by a mechanic. Yeah, your red blood cells, mate, they're fucked.
Yeah, I'll get you some more in, but I won't be here till next week.
He's basically hanging off.
That's
a trip hazard, that thing.
Mm. What you're best doing is mixing Ribena and tin tomatoes. Put a bit of that in there.
So you've had your, I don't know what you call it, your kind of MOT, your bloods.
Yeah, a health check, yeah.
How quickly do you get the results then?
Oh, a week or so, something like that.
That's really fast.
Yeah, not bad. Fucking wants to be for the price.
I mean, aren't we all pre-diabetic?
Well, I think the scale goes from like 0 to 42. 42 is pre-diabetic and I'm a 39, something like that.
Okay.
But I was ill last week. I don't know.
What sort of ill?
I was just really struggling to process blood sugar.
I can't tell whether you're making this up or not. I'm genuinely worried about you.
I'm all right, mate.
I want you to be good.
Nah.
We all of us, on behalf of everyone at CPFPL, all of our thoughts are with the pre-diabetic. Breaking news on CPFPL. John Richardson, co-host of Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League, has announced that he is pre-diabetic. He joins us now. John, how are you reacting to this news?
Just getting through a lot of Snickers.
That's that great sense of humor.
Is that making it worse?
See you through. And do you feel ill at all?
Spiritually, yes. No, body-wise, I think I'm absolutely fine. I had a trip to the podiatrist this week as well to have a routine corn looked at. I'm basically in the sexiest time of my life. I'm going bald. I have a corn. Still a frequent visit from an internal hemorrhoid keeps me up at night. I just feel like I'd be surprised if anyone in the country didn't want to have sex with me.
Breaking news on CPFPL, the co-host of the show, John Richardson, has announced exclusively on this show that he has a corn and a persistent anal hemorrhoid. He joins us now to talk about that. John, we'll come on to the corn. That is,
you must have some. What have you got?
I've got asthma and gout, eczema. You know, I claw my hands to shreds in the night. There's blood all over the bed sheets every morning. But it sounds like you may have the same problem, but maybe a couple of feet down the bed. So tell us about that persistent anal hemorrhoid. Why have you not been able to shift your old friend?
Well, it's there, isn't it? It flares up every now and again. You do what you can with creams and suppositories. I'm not having it dealt with.
It's covered in hair. But is it a result of your diet? Is it a result of your behaviour?
Well, do you know what? You're supposed to get them if you don't have enough fibre, which I find absolutely infuriating because I get nothing but fibre. Ask me what I had for my tea tonight. Lentils.
What did you have for your tea?
Peppers. Carrots.
Do you know what? People can struggle to break lentils down. Maybe that's the issue.
Well, I struggled. I struggled to break down the lentils in the pan. And I'll tell you why, because I've always said this. You know this. I used to say it all the time when we lived together. Cook your lentils separately and then add them to the sauce. I've seen a few people recently cooking lentils inside the broth. And I've always said to myself, you can't do that. Because if you put the stock in, if you put the vinegars in, the tomato purees, the acid and the salt in the sauce are trying to dry out the lentils as quick as you're trying to cook them. And that thinking seems to have just drifted away. So tonight I thought, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to do what all the cool kids are doing. I'm just going to fuck the lentils into the bolognese sauce rather than cook them separate. Could I cook these red lentils? Could I buggery? Like little discs they were, like them flying saucers you buy in the sweetie shop, but without sherbet inside. And it's because you cannot have the acids and the salts in there when you're trying to puff up your lentils.
Breaking news on CPFPL. John Richardson has revealed that his anal canal is collapsing. He joins us now. A lot of people saying this is a result of not being able to break down lentils. Do you worry about the future of your anus? John, I've got some exciting news.
You're retiring from comedy and emigrating.
No, even more exciting than that. We are going to release our very own CPFPL podcast beer with Kirkstall Brewery, and we've asked our listeners to send in their suggestions for what it should be called, and like Erling Haaland, they have delivered. So, we've got a name for our new beer. Can you remember what it is?
It's CPFP Hellas. It's a real quench boost.
I can't believe this is so cool that we've got our own beer. CPFP Hellas, a real quench boost, will be released soon by Kirkstall Brewery and will be giving some away as prizes to listeners and another slice subscribers. And we might even get some paraphernalia made up of beer mats and bar towels. This is the dream come true. Now, as we know, Kirkstall are known for their delicious cask beers like Three Swords and Dissolution, as well as modern hoppy beers like Virtuous and Judicious, and CPFP Hells will be no different. We've got our own beer! As well as brewing great beer, Kirkstall also have some of the best pubs in Yorkshire, like the Kirkstall Bridge Inn and the Cardigan Arms in Leeds, the Sparrow Inn in Bradford, and their own tap room at the brewery on Kirkstall Road. You can get 20% off everything with the code CPFPL20. Just visit the website kirkstallbrewery.com, click on shop, and enter the code for 20% off everything with the code CPFPL20. And oh my God, coming to market soon, our own beer, CPFP Hells, a real quench boost. Can you imagine? I mean, is it the most egotistical thing in the world to get drunk on your own beer?
It would be worse if it was called, like, 40.
I got drunk on our own show. I've had 5 pints of me.
getting high on your own supply.
Oh, I can't wait to taste it.
Did you ever do the Cockney voice at the Chelsea?
No. I may have done it in the pub to amuse myself. But once we were there, actually, I mean, there were just so many Americans that the Cockney thing actually felt kind of silly. I mean, it felt irrelevant. It was just all, they were just very nice people. Very nice American people. Yeah, Mason Mount got injured. It was announced this afternoon. It's like, oh, this, it did make you feel like you were abroad, actually. It made it feel like we're at the NFL. Quite liked it because it made me feel less bad about going to watch another team. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really have any compunction about going to see other teams. I don't really feel any
compunction.
No, what's the word? I don't feel guilty. I'm gonna
Google
about
it. Compunction. A feeling of guilt or moral scruple that prevents or follows the doing of something bad. John, it was the right word. I retract my cynicism. I apologise.
I like it when I do that. Do you know why that's happened?
Because you went to grammar school.
I wrote a foreword for a book this week, and I really enjoyed it. I don't want to say in case it doesn't get used, because it's not out yet. But somebody's written a book, and they asked me to write the foreword for it.
Okay, so we'll bleep it out, but you just tell me now, and then people maybe can guess hello@cpfpl.com by my reaction. So give us the name.
All right. It's the biography.
Okay.
So the hardback has been released, and it's about to start its paperback print run, and they wanted a foreword at the beginning, which I wrote.
You're a big fan.
I am a big fan. Are you?
I only know this person's work through you, and your impression of them is excellent as far as I'm aware, but I only really know them through you. So, that's lovely, John. Very wholesome.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed writing. I want to write another book. Here's a hello@cpfpl.com.
Oh, no.
I want to not appear in public anymore. I'm sick of my face, my voice. I'm sick of the fact that my gait favours the left, which means I develop a corn. There's nothing about me being outside and the movements and the sounds that it creates that it brings any joy to me anymore or anyone. I would like to stay inside. I'd like to play LOLs with my daughter. And then when she goes to bed, I like to drink and write a book, but I don't know what to write about. So if anyone has an idea for a book, but they can't write it, you know, perhaps as a sort of pair, you know, you come up with a good book idea, but you can't write a book. I want to write a book, but I'm brain dead, creatively bereft. I'm like the Nottingham Forest coach. I'm full of gas, but there's nothing in there. There's nobody in there. Just literally just fumes polluting the atmosphere for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
And you get abused on Twitter. I would say that if you don't have an idea for a book, you probably shouldn't write one. Secondly, I Googled the person whose book. They're from Kirkstall.
Yes.
And isn't that an amazing parallel? Because Kirkstall Brewery are making CPFB Hells a real quench boost.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's all mystical forces. Mystical forces. And they run a pub called the Cardigan Arms. Mystical forces, Eddie.
And are you seriously wanting to write another book with no ideas?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I really enjoyed writing. I enjoyed the time in my own head. I enjoyed structuring a sentence. Everything I do now is reactive, and it's all about, this is chat, isn't it? And it's lovely. But sometimes when you finish, you think I've just talked shit. I think I've just baffled on, delude myself that it's content. And something nice about going back and saying, actually, I'm going to use the word compunction there, and you can just change it, and then you read it back, and you change it again. And then it's crafted. It's nice. And people respect writers.
Well,
they
respect some writers. I don't know if you've seen Twitter, but there are some very famous writers who get a very difficult time on there.
Not for their writing.
Well, the idea that just being a writer will bring you respect, I think, is...
So, if you write a good book and then keep your mouth shut.
You were 27 when you wrote that book. It's not me, it's you.
What a pile of crap that is, by the way.
Well, it's a great book.
I got an email from the publishers, did I say it?
No.
We got an email from the publishers saying, can you have a word with John and get him to stop saying that his book's shit?
Really? Yeah. When did they say that?
I must have been on Sunday Brunch or one of these promoting something else. And, you know, your love joys. Someone like that would have said, oh, you were last on here promoting your book, weren't you? And I would have said something like, yeah, sorry about that. It was a pile of crap, but I couldn't say so at the time. And I think one of the publishers was watching and sent an email to my agent saying, I mean, it is still for sale. So could you get him to stop saying it's good?
Well, it's available for £8.39 on Prime. I loved the book. I tell
is
what
it
I
still £8.39? That is a dear do.
I remember you writing that. And my memory is that you hated writing it. You sort of took yourself away and were in a right old state.
Yeah, that was one of the low points of my life, writing that book.
So I think maybe you shouldn't write another book. It really took its time. And I find you were finding it very stressful hitting the deadlines.
Yeah.
Didn't you go on a holiday to basically a cottage on the edge of a cliff or something? That's how I remember it.
Yeah, I did. I wrote some of it in Swindon. And then when Swindon dried up, I went to where Hannah Hawkswell used to live. So I went and wrote in the Yorkshire Moors. And then when that got a bit bleak, I went to, I finished the book at Grangeover Sands on the sort of Cumbrian coast lying down there near Barrow. And I found, oddly, that I worked best between 5 and 8 in the morning. So I would get up at 4:30 and have a coffee and start writing. And by about 8, I was in such a funk that I just couldn't get anything else done. So then I'd go and buy the Guardian newspaper and I'd go to the, I was still eating meat back then. So I'd go to the butchers and the greengrocers and I'd spend the rest of the day drinking red wine and cooking.
I mean, it sounds great.
What a bad should life.
Do it. I don't, yeah. I'm just looking at the reviews of it.
Don't do that.
I mean, look, you're a successful guy, so this is fine. The most recent review...
And let's be clear, this is what you did in your best man speech at my wedding. So don't pretend this is a new idea.
No, but that was for your DVD. That was different. Yeah. This is for your book. The most recent review, 1st of March 2022. 1 star. The title of the review is rubbish. And the content of the review says, drivel. What I also must say is, John, is the vast majority of the reviews are 5-star, great service, and a quality book, very interesting, funny.
What's the name of the reviewer? What I do when I get a review like that is I sort of research the reviewer to see whether I think Laura. Their opinion is valid.
It says Laura. If it's any...
Laura?
Yeah, if it's any... Oh, okay. So let me tell you about this reviewer, right? It says Impact Zero. She's done 4 reviews. She's given everything else 4 stars or above. She gave 5 stars to a set of tree seeds. Great starter set. Good mix of seeds. Bonsai tree seeds. She also bought a women's triathlon suit. And in 2016, 4 stars. Good value for money. Did exactly what I needed it to do. She bought a printable gift voucher for Amazon. 5 stars. I hadn't bought my father-in-law a Christmas present, and with all the snow, I wasn't going to be able to receive one on time. He doesn't have a mainstream taste in novels, so I couldn't go and buy anything locally. With the voucher, he can choose what he wants, and I have something physical to give him on the day without leaving the comfort of my home. She seems to be very sort of easily pleased, apart from...
Father or father-in-law?
Brother-in-law. Sorry,
brother-in-law.
Misspoke.
Can I just say, and I don't mean to cast aspersions here, but this is exactly why I do this, because sometimes the worst thing for me would be to click on somebody who's reviewed my book 1 star and then find we've got the same taste and find that they've the last thing they've bought is the complete bottom DVD box set and given it 5 stars and said, I love Rick Mail. Because then I think, fuck, that person's like me. They like what I like and they thought they were going to like my book and it's shit. If I click on a review and I find it's the sort of person who buys an online Amazon gift voucher for someone for Christmas, I think that's all right. I don't mind if you don't like my book. Not only someone who buys an online Amazon gift voucher, which basically to that person says, I couldn't spend a 1/4 second thinking about what to get to you. I got to 3 seconds and thought, oh, fuck it. I'll buy a website voucher for the website I'm on now. And I didn't think further than that. That's what that says. Just give them the cash. Just give them the cash.
Give them the dollar.
That's fine. I'm now on the audiobook. I've had a review from a Mr. NJ Brown. 1 star. Do you know what it says?
Go on.
Drivel. So do you think perhaps these are Russian bots that are trying to sort of bring my book down with the word drivel?
Maybe. Does this one sound like a Russian bot? This isn't the one.
Oh, shit.
I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but it's a very cruel review. He says, I persevered longer than many and got to 63% of the book before he frightened me with his so-called zooming technique, which entails him sitting in the bath with the door
closed. Oh, that's good advice, that.
Lights off, a large dressing gown on, and then covering himself with a large towel to get his head together. Sorry, John, that will not get your head together. You need professional help.
Oh, that's a good review. I did. That's exactly right. I was depressed when I wrote my book. It's not a good book. I got some counselling and now I'm fine. That's a really good book.
I love that book. Don't you slag that book off.
Do you know the first line? This is what I hate in a review. So NJ Brown's one-star drivel review. Do you know what the first line says?
Go on.
I find John reasonably unfunny.
Oh, hang on.
Doesn't like me, so bought my book. Find John reasonably unfunny. I thought this book might be different. Lived up to nothing.
That's such a weird... And is that
have
a
you ever reviewed
purchase?
Anything? Oh, it's not a verified purchase. No, unverified. That's from Canada, that review.
Yeah,
oh, you can get top reviews from other countries. I can find out how my book's done around the world. Isabel, in Spain, loved it. Stuart Gerber, he's in Canada, he loved it. Alejandro Garza, where's Alejandro Garza?
Spain.
Germany.
Mother of hell.
You wouldn't think it, would you? It's doing well in Canada. Tell you what, three reviews from Canada. There's only NJ Brown. As long as I don't talk, let's find out where NJ Brown lives. So I can't find out. Oh, it is a verified purchase.
Oh,
oh dear. So next week, shall we do your book?
Do you know what? I'm just looking.
It's more fun if I do it, innit? What's it called? Politically Homeless.
What does Vine Voice mean? Yeah.
Let's have a little look. Let's save it for next week, though.
Yeah.
I'm on the audiobook.
Remember, I got fucking lambasted. Mine got absolutely trolled, do you remember?
Yeah, it did when it came out.
Oh my God, it got like... Basically, certain communities online express their politics by dunking on, you know, particular authors. Oh my God. Matt Ford is a right-wing political propagandist who identifies as a comedian. His media career as a pro-establishment hired gun has made him a near omnipresent figure on various media platforms, supporting the widely held suspicion the country is seeking to be run by Tony Blair via a porter cabin in Mordor. That's fucking brilliant. Fair dues. Yes.
Do you know...
do mine next week. Some of them are fucking brilliant.
Do you know what I'd take from that review?
Go on.
At least you've been sort of called a gun. You know.
Yeah, rather than a what?
Well, I would pick there, and I'm not saying I did write that review. I'm certainly not saying I am Randy FB. you'd pick something hollow and impotent, wouldn't you, if you were trying to sort of shoot someone down? But actually, they've used a metaphor as something that is, although a bit very destructive and a force for bad on the planet. Nevertheless, yes. Potent weapon.
Oh, yeah, so, good point.
Are you up for a bit of hit the post?
Oh, yeah, go on.
So Gary Robinson's been on.
All right, Gal.
He says, hi, guys. This relates to a conversation we had recently. He said, well done, John, on calling out Bing for the feckless, whinging cretin he is. I'm astonished he's allowed on television. My children are 6 and 4. I've never been so relieved when they grew out of Bing and latched on to the more positive can-do attitudes of Paw Patrol and Bluey, etc. Ben and Holly's peak of all of them, Nanny Plum is up there as one of the all-time great characters of all time. Love the pod. Cheers, Gary.
Cheers, Gal.
Andy suggests a new format.
Oh, okay.
Andy Williams, no less. I'm emailing to offer a format idea.
Okay.
Ryan Catchfraser is a play on the classic game show without requiring Stephen Mulhern. During this game, a classic quote from a famous football person is quoted and the contestant is required to name who the quote belongs to. Would you like to play along with his example?
Yeah, go on.
Do you want me to? I tell you what, I'll give you 3 points if you get it when I read it out in my voice. Then I'll read it in the accent of the person, and then I'll give you clues.
Oh, I love this. God, you're fun. You're such a good mate. Great company.
Right, so in my voice, you've got to fucking die to get 3 points.
Mikel Arteta.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to give you the 3 points, and I'm going to ask you to, you're in the right realm. It is a manager, but you're going to need to come down a peg or two. You've got
Steve
to
Evans.
Fucking die to get 3 points.
Warnock.
For 2 points, it's Neil Warnock.
Wow.
You've got to be pleased with that.
Both of us had a blinder there. You played it right. There was the sort of tantric delayed gratification of it going to that second round. Everyone wanted it to go there. It had to. And then, from nowhere, wow, got it right. Bosch, 2 points in the bag. We go again.
We've had other format suggestions. Alice in Wonderland. What's Alison thinking about? Liverpool fans will be asking that on a weekly basis. Dick Van Dyke, where you interview Virgil Van Dyke, but in a Cockney accent.
but in a bad
John one. Stone or John Stone. Two facts, and you have to guess about whether it's John Stone or someone called Johnston.
John Stones paints trophy.
Yeah.
That's when John Stones painted a trophy.
We got a bit of beef, didn't we, on Twitter this week? Read out the fan league. Top of the fan league is Ian Folger with 1,243 points. A bit of beef online this week. Someone tweeted in to say, it's pretty exceptional to be playing FPL properly and not have reached 1,000 points yet.
Yeah, some people did come, some people rode to our rescue there and said, actually, no, most, only like the top 10% have done that. And now I do have over 1,000, so.
I think people think because we do the podcast about it that we're good about it, but that suggests they haven't really listened to the podcast. We have discussed hemorrhoids and pre-diabetes more than we have discussed FPL this week.
Yes, this is more hemorrhoid than Haaland, more pre-diabetes than...
Go on.
Pep Guardiola.
I wrote a joke this week about a footballer.
Go on.
I was listening to a game while I was driving. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here we go. Which footballers... I just remember I have to Google to check that the thing is what I think it is. Yeah, here we go. Which footballer's favourite food is sushi?
Oh, Tommy Yashu.
No.
Probably is.
That would just be a factual answer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, genuinely trying to answer that. I'm still in, like, trying to get points mode.
Eight nori. You like that? For Wolves? Because nori's the sort of seaweed stuff they're wrapping in.
That is niche, isn't it?
It's niche, yeah, of course. But this is it. I mean, we're dealing, if ever there was a place for it,
yeah,
it's probably on a podcast like this, right?
It is, which it features football, improv, and we do chat a bit of food, actually, don't we?
We talk about food. We talk about football.
Have you got yourself any food treats lined up for the coming days?
Well, I've got to try and get this old diabetic blood down, haven't I? So I'll be laying off the white rice and the bread. There's all the Christmas food knocking about. I've said it before. I don't want to keep banging on about it. The Christmas tree is still up, by the way, in Richardson Towers.
Whoa.
Can't bring myself to take it down. We sort of miss Christmas through various things, illnesses and travel and whatnot. As a result, didn't, Rich, you know what I found this week? The vegan panettone I'd put that aside for Boxing Day, didn't I? I forgot to get it out. At some point this week, I'm going to eat a whole panettone.
Give us a bit.
You want a bit? You have to come and get it, mate. I aren't sending it, yeah?
Can I get it?
I'll get a pilot to fly it down for you.
Well, I mean, Nottingham on Wednesday
night.
I'll see if
Steve Cooper needs to send a letter, and if he sends it by private jet, I'll get him to lob a piece of...
Wednesday night, where are you? Come to the game and bring a panettone.
I'm at home actually on Wednesday night. I'm on BBC Breakfast on Wednesday morning, hawking my wares. I mean, having said what I said about promoting stuff, there's no worse place for me than BBC Breakfast. You can't swear, you can't say anything funny. Nobody wants you on there. It's a news programme. No one wants to see me titting about talking about panel shows.
They love it. Who are you on with?
Lucy Beaumont.
Which presenters?
I don't know.
Charlie and Nagger. You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
You'd hope so.
Love them both. Give my regards to both of them, please.
Do you want me to pass on your best? I will do.
Absolutely. Big fan. I got very well with Nagger Manchetti.
Okay.
One of the best broadcasters in the UK, no question.
Here we go. It's 40's hyperbole. It came late this week. We're never sure where it's going to crop up, 40's hyperbole. We got to the 95th minute, very much a Stevenage last-minute winner. We had to get on to the thorny subject of Nagger Manchetti before 40's hyperbole cropped up this week. 40, talk to us about the fact that you think Nagger should be hosting the next Oscars.
I would absolutely back that decision. I think she's an effortless anchorwoman on BBC Breakfast, and her 5 live shows, excellent. Just the great mix of broadcasting talent, just, you know, intelligence, poise, humour. It's, you know, one of the country's best broadcasters, undeniably, surely. We're saying Nagamon Chetty's not one of the country's best broadcasters.
That's all we've got time for this episode.
Thank you so much for listening.
Specifically you.
Steve.
There we go. That's this week's special listener. Anyone called Steve.
Yeah, get in touch. Hello at cpfpl.com.
And go and slag our box off. You could get on the podcast. Slag 40s. Oh. If you give 40 a shit review this week, you might be on the podcast next week.
Don't. We didn't do this for your, like, you know, we enjoyed historic slagging.
Sure. Okay. So no reviews written in the previous 7 days will be read.
Yeah. But also, leave a 5-star written review for the podcast. Should you wish to leave a 5-star written review for John's book or for my book, John, on behalf of all the listeners, all of us here at CPFPL, breaking news. Today's podcast has come to an end. The final word goes to John Richardson.
Bye-bye.